The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Jesus told this parable to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. Two men went up to the temple courts to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. However, the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Because our hands are so central, there's so many things that we do in our everyday lives, it's really not surprising that human hands play such a big role in the events of our Savior's suffering and death. The theme for the midweek Lent services this year is the hands of the Passion. And through the course of this Lent, we are going to be looking at hands that belong to Judas Iscariot and Caiaphas, St. Peter, Pontius Pilate, and Jesus himself. Tonight, on Ash Wednesday, we are going to focus on the hands of two men in a parable that Jesus told. This parable from St. Luke's Gospel is one that is very often read and preached on Ash Wednesday. But as you consider this parable tonight, I would like you to do something that maybe you have not done before when listening to this story. As you listen to the content of the prayer of these two men, please try to visualize what they are doing with their hands. What do the actions of their hands reveal about the attitude inside of their hearts? And what does this teach us about true God-pleasing repentance? Now, Jesus is telling a story about two fictional but very believable men. They are both going to the same place, the sacred temple of Jerusalem, and they are both going there for the same reason, to pray. And both of their prayers start with the same word, God. But that is where the similarities stop. Because the first man who prays is a Pharisee. He is one of Israel's spiritual elite, one of the first to seize the moral high ground, outwardly much more obedient and reverent than everybody else. And this particular Pharisee is determined that everybody else in the temple is going to know what a wonderful man he is. He prays, God, I thank you. Now that is actually a beautiful way to begin a prayer. You and I would do well maybe to start more of our own prayers that way. Instead of starting with, God, give me this, or God, here's some advice on how you should be running things in the world, to simply start with, God, I thank you. And Christian parents would do a good job to teach their children to start their prayers this way. And if only the Pharisee would stop right here with his prayer. God, I thank you, full stop, amen. Unfortunately, he doesn't. He keeps going. And as he does, the Pharisee reveals that this really isn't a prayer of thanksgiving at all, because he continues, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now it's possible that as he prays, the Pharisee's hands are folded right out in front of him, the way that you and I often do when we pray. It's probably more likely, though, that his hands were raised up to heaven in the direction that he was sending his prayer. But whatever his hands were doing physically during the prayer, what they were actually doing was patting himself on the back. See, he was no robber, so he had kept the seventh commandment. He was no adulterer, so he had kept the sixth. This Pharisee was convinced that he had kept all of the requirements of God's law. And actually, that doesn't quite go far enough. Not only had he kept God's commandments, he had actually jumped over the bar and exceeded God's demands. And just in case the Lord had maybe been busy for the last month or so and hadn't noticed all the great things he had been doing, at the end of his prayer, he provides God with a couple of specific examples. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. See, the law of Moses required faithful Jewish worshipers to fast one day a year. He does it twice a week. And the law of Moses required people to offer 10% of all their earned income. He gives 10% of all of his income, no matter where it comes from. It is a very proud, self-righteous prayer, but what is going on here beneath the surface? What is happening inside of this Pharisee's head and inside of his heart? What on earth could compel a human being to say a prayer like this? Well, Jesus doesn't really give us the insight to the motivation behind this prayer of the Pharisee, but there are at least a couple of possibilities. It is possible that this Pharisee is so impressed by himself, he is so full of himself spiritually and so blinded by pride that he does not even realize how arrogant he is sounding. But there is another possibility too. It is also possible that this man knows himself better than he is letting on. That maybe this prayer is masking some insecurity. Maybe he feels the need to draw attention to so many good things he has done in order to deflect attention away from some good things that he hasn't done. And maybe this whole thing isn't so much an effort to convince the other worshipers in the temple that he is a good man as much as it is an effort to convince himself. Now, Ash Wednesday is a day for God's people to make a thorough and honest examination of their lives and to acknowledge our sin. The sin that we are born with, and then all the sinful words and actions that are born out of the sin inside of us. And Ash Wednesday is a day for us to turn to God and ask for His mercy. And on Ash Wednesday, just like every other day, we turn to Him with the confidence that His mercy, His forgiveness is ours in the work of His Son, Jesus. You see, this Pharisee has no repentance in his heart. And asking God for forgiveness is the furthest thing from his mind. So you know, it really doesn't matter how many outwardly good things he had done in his life or how many prayers he said. He went home from the temple empty-handed. Now the other man worshiping in the temple that day probably doesn't draw a whole lot of attention at all from the other worshipers because he stands at a distance way in the back and his chin is buried down in his chest. And in this case, we do know exactly what he was doing with his hands because Jesus tells us they were balled into fists and beating his chest. See, this man knows what he has done and he knows what he deserves. But instead of giving up hope, he offers up a prayer to God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. See, this tax collector does not try to make himself look better by comparing himself to other people. And he certainly does not try to impress God by assembling a CV of all of the great, amazing things that he has done in his life. All he does is look right into the mirror of God's law and see himself for what he is, a sinner, and understand that his only hope is to throw himself at the mercy of God. Now, this is not a long prayer at all. 7 words in English, and it's actually only 6 in Greek, but it is an extremely powerful prayer because it comes from a humble heart of repentance that is trusting in God for mercy. And the Lord rewards this repentant heart. Jesus declares, I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, when Jesus told this story originally, he was not speaking to a specific social class of people. Like, they weren't necessarily all Pharisees or scribes or merchants or tax collectors or disciples. But what everyone in the crowd had in common was their attitude. He was talking to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. Now, try to imagine if this were happening today. If Jesus were speaking to a group of people today who were spiritual snobs who like to look down on everybody else. As you look into this modern day crowd of people like that, that Jesus is talking to, do you think you could recognize anyone in the crowd who fits that description? Would you recognize any of the faces? Would you maybe see in this crowd of self-righteous people who like to look down their noses on everybody else, would you maybe see a classmate of yours who is always bragging about the 100 that she got on the last test? No big deal, but yeah, I got 100 again. Or as you look into this crowd of self-righteous people, would you maybe see a coworker who's always telling you how to do your job as if he didn't have any issues at all with the way that he does his job? Or would you maybe see in this group of self-righteous people who look down on others your friend who uses the annual Christmas letter as an excuse to brag ad nauseum about all the achievements of their family? And as you look into this crowd, would you maybe see somebody who looks a little bit like you? Because, you see, when I complain about other people who think they're better than I am, am I not sort of saying that I'm better than they are? And if I complain about other people looking down their noses at me, am I not looking down my nose at them as I make that judgment? See, I really hope that here at Trinity we would never have an incident where anyone would stand up in this sanctuary and start going on and on about how amazing they are and talking about how rotten everybody else is. But don't we all have a little bit of that spiritual snobbery inside of us? And wouldn't God have the right to judge us for the secret judgments that we pass on others? It is so easy to start veering off into the attitudes of the Pharisee in this story. And it is so important for us Christians to check ourselves constantly to make sure that we are imitating the tax collector. That on Ash Wednesday and every day, we fold our own hands, lay open our hearts, and confess, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then we need to remember the third person who is involved in this story. You have the Pharisee, you have the tax collector, you also have the man who told the story. Now, if there was ever a person who had the right to brag about his good life, it is Jesus Christ, because he is the only human being who ever actually did keep all of God's commands and keep them all perfectly. But he didn't do that so that he would have something to boast about for himself. He did that for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sins. And if there was ever a person who had the right not to be humble, it's Jesus Christ, because he is the Son of God. He sees everything, he knows everything, he has all power. But he humbled himself and took on the role of a servant, even allowing himself to be humiliated and executed. And he did that for you and me. It is because of God's merciful heart that he sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to do all of that for us. He lived in our place, he died in our place, so that we have a place at God's side in heaven. And we can leave this time of worship tonight with humble confidence, knowing that we are in good hands, the merciful hands of God. Amen.